The lesson this morning comes from John chapter 3, and it's a lesson that I think you and I probably know almost by heart. It's one of those that we've heard and seen so many times, yet I hope we'll allow this lesson to speak into our hearts again today. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to them, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to them, "How can these things be?" Isn't that our question a lot? But then we go on to verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today I want us to talk just a little bit about respect and challenge. And especially as we see it coming out of the Gospel of John and John 3. I got to tell you, I got into a lot of fights as a young boy. I was tall, thin, and I was at least a year younger than all of my classmates. I mean, it makes it pretty easy to try to prove yourself when you can pick on the tall, thin, young kid. But there was also a part of me that just couldn't stand it when my smaller classmates were being picked on either. I mean, the last major fight that I remember, I really wasn't involved. Yet somehow, you know how it happens out on the playground, and the next thing you know, there's a circle around whatever's going on? Well, the next thing I knew, I was down in the middle of the scrum with those who were fighting. And my teacher, R.D. Carson, is grabbing Lanny Stanley and me by the scruff of the neck. And he just picks us up. Now, the thing you got to understand about R.D. Carson, he was a baseball and basketball player at Lenora Ryan College. His fraternity brothers loved him so much, they gave him a paddle with Lenora Ryan's emblem burned into it. Hold on to that word, burned. R.D. would swing his paddle like he was swinging a baseball bat. Lean over and grab my desk. And five times, R.D. lifted me off of the floor. You know, I think I still have Lenora Ryan College's emblem burned right there. But I got to tell you something. In all of those fights, I began to realize that there is multiple layers of meaning within any and every life, not just the meaning that I placed in that situation. Now, I don't want you to answer out loud, but how many of us think that because we think something, it's got to be right? Well, I got to tell you, if I think it, it must be true. But there's a corollary in the Methodist Church. You do realize that. And that is, if we think about a problem, then it's like acting on it. Our scripture lesson today tells us about one teacher who ventures out at night, meeting another. Respect and challenge will mark their encounter. There's ambiguous language that opens rather than closes a conversation. And what's at stake in all of it is the potential to birth new life, to be open to God's blessing. Now, what you and I need to understand is Nicodemus is a leader in the synagogue. That means he's a leader at church in our terminology. He came in respect to talk with a man who, as even he said, was doing signs that only God can do. Now, you know as well as I do, he's not sure he wants everybody in town to know who he's meeting. And so he meets Jesus under the cover of darkness. He goes at night. I don't want everybody to know my business. And in talking with Jesus, I think Nicodemus is challenged to order and reorder his life. And I want us to look just for a moment at a few of those challenges. Challenge number one comes to us in verse 3. Because Jesus says, unless one is born anew. Wow. Folks, I can tell you that has at least three meanings to it. Born again, born from above, born anew. And all three of them are correct interpretations of the words that are used. And so what I want us to do is begin to think in terms of, what does it mean to me? What comes to my mind when I begin to insert each of those three different meanings? Well, I can tell you something. As I hear that phrase, born again, my mind instantly jumps right back to Nicodemus and the incongruity of returning to a mother's womb. Lord, am I supposed to somehow return to my mother's womb? Are you shocked by that very statement? Because I think Jesus was, in some ways, wanting to shock us into thinking and rethinking who we are and what it is about our spiritual life. He wants us to realize that we have to adjust our thinking, that the same old is not okay anymore. We can't keep doing the same thing we were doing before and expect something different to happen in our lives. That if we keep doing the same thing, the action is still going to come out the same way. We must be born from above. In my mind, when we begin to use that phrase, born from above, it brings to mind that we have a renewed heart, a renewed mind, because I'm born from above because I am born into the likeness of God. And so that heavenly stamp is placed upon my heart, is placed upon my life, and there is a change in my very soul. 2 Corinthians 5:17 put it in a strange way, didn't he? A new heart, and the old being passed away. We become that person who is a part of God's Spirit. Challenge number two also shows up in verse 3. And he says, unless one is born anew, we shall not see the kingdom of God. You know, John only uses that phrase kingdom of God twice in the whole Gospel of John. He'll use it in John 3:3, and he'll use it again in John 3:5. It's the only two times that we ever see John use that phrase kingdom of God. And I think in part, he only uses it twice because the phrase kingdom of God is so tied up in their civil life that for John, it has lost some of its meaning. It's so tied up with Israel that he wants us to respond to Jesus, the one that God has sent. And for me, the interesting part is that we must be born from above to see the kingdom. And I can tell you something. You know, we're doing testimonies in our Lenten lunches and suppers. Well, my part of my testimony comes right here. When I quit trying to explain everything in life, I began to see miracles taking place every single day. When I quit trying to let my scientific mathematical mind tell me what the realities of life were, God began to open up and to show me every single day the wonders of life, the miracles that are taking place. And I'm not just talking about that wonderful miracle of actually getting up and having life in the first place. How many miracles did you see this week? How many God moments did you see? Because God things are taking place right before my eyes all the time. And I can tell you, I believe they were there all along. But I just wasn't ready or willing to see them. Challenge number three is found in verse 18. Let me do that one right. Let's get it right. It's verse 8. Wow. And that is when. Because when is spirit is breath. They're actually all three the same thing. And Hebrew, the word is ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. And what I want us to do is take verse 8 and think about it. How is its meaning different to you and to me when instead of putting wind, that we use its two other expressions, spirit, breath. I want you to hear verse 8 again. The Spirit blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Are you beginning to sense that freedom that comes from God? The breath of God blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whether it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Folks, the wind, the Spirit, the breath of God is poured out upon us in such wonderful, wonderful ways. But I got to tell you something. Because I hope you and I understand that wind, that spirit, that breath is unpredictable. How many of us can testify to the unpredictableness of God's Spirit in our lives? The Spirit is powerful. How many of us can testify to the very power of God at work in our lives? The wind is irresistible. How many of us can testify to that irresistible pull of God into our lives, taking us places that we may have never thought possible before. The wind is secret. And God speaks into those secret moments and those secret spots in our lives. And because of that, you and I feel that nudge that says, I got to step out. I must be obedient to the voice. I hope each of us catches that sense of the work of God and the work of God's grace in our life. Unpredictable, irresistible, powerful, secret. And I got to tell you, each of those three challenges that Nicodemus faced that night as he came to see Jesus, that challenge of being born from above, of the kingdom of God, of the wind, the spirit, the breath of God, each one of those happens for a purpose. And the purpose comes to us straightforward in verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world. I hope you recognize God loves the world as opposed to God loves Israel. God loves Jews. I think that would have been an eye-opener for Nicodemus. Because I think Nicodemus and other Pharisees just like him would have said, God so loved Israel that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the Pharisees that he gave his only begotten son. But instead, what does Jesus say? For God so loved the world. Nicodemus probably would have never included those sinners in Israel who weren't following the law. He wouldn't have included people like the Samaritans, and he definitely wouldn't have included the Gentiles. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Please hear it this day. Everything that God has done and will continue to do is done for a purpose. And that is the salvation of the world. God came to offer his salvation to all who would receive him. And folks, I think that's the place that you and I fit into the picture. It's not only as receivers of that salvation, but also in sharing the stories of how God has touched us. Yes, I'm a sneaky, subversive person. If you hadn't realized that already, I fessed up. I can tell you, that's in part why at lunchtime and at supper time all during Lent, you're hearing the testimonies, the stories of the way God's been involved in our lives. Why? Because that's the story we had to share with the world. That's the story we get to tell to others. And so we get to hear it from at least 12 people just during Lent. Well, you now know my subversive nature. And it too is done for a purpose. May we be the people of God. May we allow God's Spirit to pour upon us that truly, as we are born from above, as we see the kingdom of God, as we are able to allow that wind to pour out upon us, that we truly are the people God created us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.